Hello and welcome to the EPH Half Year 2024 Results Conference Call. My name is Elliot and I'll be coordinating your call today. Today's call will be run by the following speakers: Pavel Horsky, CFO for EPH, Gary Mazzotti, CEO for EP Infrastructure, and Peter Jurek, Director of Financing for EPH. If you would like to register a question during today's event, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Alternatively, you can submit your written questions via the Q&A box found on your screen. I would now like to hand over to Pavel Horsky, CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome to everyone. If we can go to the page five. EPH is a vertical integrated group, which is mainly focused on infrastructure assets and flexible power generation. If we go straight to H1 results, LTM EBITDA, €3.2 billion, free cash flow, €1.5, net underlying leverage ratio, 1.3 times EBITDA, cash conversion, excluding development CapEx, 33%, net installed capacity, 13.6 gigawatt, and development CapEx through last 12 months, almost €500 million. If you look at the EBITDA and compare it to recent years, obviously EPH went through the period of tailwind caused by situation in Ukraine. Everyone knows from the very beginning that this period will not last forever. So gradually the EBITDA or EPH is lending to level where we believe it should stay for a long time. I think what is the most important is to compare rather 2021 and current LTM EBITDA, and you can still see that we are roughly 38% above the levels which we have achieved in 2021. And one has to take also into account that already in 2021 there was a positive effect of energy crisis, which was in the autumn and winter in 2021. If you look at net leverage or net financial debt of the company, you can clearly see that we are trying to keep relatively very conservative leverage of the company, which is also reflected in overall decrease of net debt at the end of H1 2024. Development CapEx, as you probably know, we are developing three major projects. Two CCGTs in Italy, one OCGT in Northern Ireland. These projects are in a very advanced stage. Most of them should be, or all of them should be, finalized within 12 months from now. So there is certain delay in these projects, but at the same time, compared to others, we are almost over the period of heavy investments. If you look at the other peers in the market, some of them are already in the beginning of such a period. So this may also a little bit distinguish us from others in terms of risk which is associated with the construction and finalization of these projects. If you go to the page six, of the executive summary, I think strategically for us we have two major topics in EPH. One is that we would like to, or we are providing critical services in energy business. There are two ways how we provide these services. One is through our critical infrastructure, which is mainly based in EP infrastructure part of the group. The other way how we support the critical or provide the critical services to energy in Europe is via our flexible power generation, because this power generation capacity is balancing renewables and enable to build new capacities in fact in Europe in a renewable space. The other very important pillar of our strategy is energy transition in Europe, where we believe are one of the leaders in ESG in ESG space. What do we do for that? First, we are really closing the coal capacities in Europe, and during the past couple of years, we have already closed 4.8 gigs of installed capacity in coal. But we are not only closing, but we are also building new capacities. in CCGTs, which are replacing the coal. And as you know, because of the renewable flotilla, which is or fleet, which is in Europe, you need a balancing element, because what will be left in principle in Europe in terms of power generation are just nukes and CCGTs. Nukes are not flexible, so the only flexible power generation source for the future will be more or less gas. So by replacing coal by new gas capacities, we are, as already mentioned, we are enable a development of renewables in Europe. Another element of our energy transition strategy is building power storage, where we are developing several projects. Currently, we are almost done with the projects in France, which are having altogether almost 80 megawatt of installed capacity, meaning batteries. What we are trying also to do is to simplify the structure of the group. There are two elements how to do it. Cash flow wise, we are trying to put in place, or we are already implementing, a cash pooling system in EPH, which is mainly EPH plus EP Power Europe part of the group. And another very important element is that we have started to merge certain entities within the group to further simplify the structure. If you can go to page 7, EPH is not a standalone group. This is part of a larger group, which is called EP Corporate Group. The major part of the group so far is still energy, which comprises of two major legs. One is EPH, the other one is EP Energy Transition. If you look at on the bottom right side of the chart, you can see that these two segments are altogether very important, because on the aggregated basis in 2023, these two companies or groups generated EBITDA of roughly 7.3 billion euros, has generated power at a level of 72 terawatt hours, and net financial debt was only 1.2 billion for the whole aggregated energy part of EPCG, EP Corporate Group. We have also smaller other arms in EPCG, which is mainly wholesale, retail, mainly in food area. Also, we are interested into e-commerce, logistics, media, and e-commerce. If you look at shortly on EP Energy Transition, this is a part of the group which is the strategy is to socially responsibly transform the existing mainly lignite power generation company into a new company which will be mainly operational in the area of renewables. Of CCGTs, hydrogen-ready CCGTs, and biomass. The whole project is roughly 10 billion euros, and we believe that we will build up over 7 gigs of installed capacity in renewables. In terms of KPIs, installed capacity currently 7.9 gigs, and the power produced in 2023 was 36 terawatt hours. Last but not least, EPCG is an investment grade credit quality group as recognized by S&P. Next page, please, which is page 9. A little bit more detail about EPH. EPH operates in 9 countries. EPH is having 6 segments. Flexible power generation, EP Power Europe, renewables, gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage, and heat infrastructure. So you have two diversification elements. One is regional, the other one is through segments, and some of them are even negatively correlated, so which provides, in our view, relatively a huge stability in terms of profit generation. As we already discussed, we are a very strong contributor to energy transition. Our strategy is, as EPH, is to be coal-free by 2030. Post 2025, there will be only two coal generators. One will be in Sardinia, which is under Mastram regime, so we are obliged to provide power to Sardinia Island. The other one are in the Czech Republic, which are heat power plants, which are already, or we are currently undergoing the huge investment program to transition these two three power plants into CCGTs, biomass and energy from waste capacities. This should be finalized by 2028 or 2029. We are also building new hydrogen-ready capacities in OCGT and CCGTs, which already mentioned. These are hydrogen-ready, and what is the most important from CO2 perspective, these are one of the most efficient capacities built so far. So once put in place, it simply they will generate less CO2. In terms of other KPIs, because what is important for EPH is that we are trying to be either leader in certain businesses, or we would like to have a relatively very important market position in segments where we are present. In case of EP infrastructure, the businesses are mostly, let's say, dominant or monopoly or quasi-monopoly like distributions. But we are one of the largest gas storage, or we are having largest gas storage capacities in the region of Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary, and Austria, which is 64 terawatt hours of storage capacity. The total assets which we are having are 26 billion euro. And number of employees is roughly 11 billion. We are obsessed with very conservative financial and business policies, which are well reflected in the rating which we have received in 2023, which is BBB minus stable from S&P and Fitch. Also, our hard work in the area of energy transition and ESG is well reflected in ratings which you have received from independent parties. Here we are mentioning sustainability rating, Sustainalytics rating, which is 22.4 mid, which is corresponding to medium risk. On the next page, number 10, you can see that currently EPH consists of three major subsegments. One is EP Power Europe, second is EPIF, and last but not least, we are also having 33% in the company called Slovenská elektrárne, which is the leading power generator in Slovakia. And we have one dedicated page on SE, so we will discuss it later. In case of EP Power Europe, major two segments, flexible power generation and renewables. In case of EP infrastructure, we are having four segments, gas, transmission, distribution, gas storage, and heat infra. In terms of the importance of respective segments for EPH, obviously flexible power generation is almost or more than half of EBDA generated in H1 LTM basis. And then you can see that gas and power distribution and gas storage are the other two the most important segments. Gas distribution is fully regulated business. Gas storage is having medium to long-term contracts. And as I said, this is we are having the leading position in the region. On page 11, you can see a little bit of analytics or explanation behind the EBITDA development in H1 compared to the whole 2023 years. In a nutshell, EPIF, so infrastructure business, is producing very stable and nice results, which is mainly given by the nature of the businesses which are in EP infrastructure. In case of EP Power Europe or flexible generation, This is what I have mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, simply the tailwind which we could see in 2022 and 2023 is somehow diminishing in a way. The EBITDA is decreasing regularly to levels where we believe it will be long-term sustainable. Also, one important element here is that we have certain delay in our new CCGT and OCGT projects, which originally should already positively impact the EBITDA and profit generation in 2024. But as I said, these projects should be finalized in the following 12 months, so it should provide uplift to EBITDA in 2025. In terms of the market, in 2024 and 3 as well, I think that let's say the weather conditions were excellent for renewables, which obviously is having a little bit negative impact on the flexible generation side. At the same time, French nukes are operated at reliable levels. So again, there was enough power from that side, and on the demand side, in general, the macroeconomic activity in Europe was relatively weak, which didn't help too much to us as well. But at the same time, as we see it, if you look at the risk of further decrease of spreads and power prices and let's say potential positive uplift in this area, we see the risk relatively balanced or even a little bit on the upside side. If you can go to another page 12, there is a summary of recent development within the group. So as mentioned, we are closing hard coal power plants. So we have closed already Mehrum in Germany in March 2024, and the most probable outcome for MLHSA 6 is that it will be closed in Q1 2025. At the same time, MLHSA 6 is more or less not operating at all. It provides nearly only supporting road to the grid in case of any instability or need of the grid. So as you can see, it operated just 239 hours in H1 2024. New builds I have already covered. You have more details where we believe these projects will be finalized. In terms of financing, I think we can say probably that we were able to put in place a green finance framework in a relatively record time span. And based on this success, we have approved the market and issued a 500 million bond, green bond, in May 2024, and also which I believe was success, which could be also seen on the subsequent trading development, where the bonds, both bonds 2028 and 2029, substantially strengthened. And based on this strengthening, we have also did the tap on a 2028 bond at the level of 100 million euros. On page 13, there is a small summary or introduction of Slovenské elektrárne. As already mentioned, we own 33% in this company. This is the leading power generator in Slovakia, in fact generating more than 70% of Slovakian needs. We are having a call option for another 33%, which we would be buying from Enel Italy, and our clear intention is to become a majority shareholder in the company, having 66% in the company. The company is great from the ESG perspective because this is pure green power generator, having only nukes, hydro and renewables. Current installed capacity is 3.9 gigawatt, The company is currently in very advanced stage of building the last or second block of nuclear power plant in Slovakia. The expected finalization of this of this block is let's say around end of 2025. What is important to mention are two elements which is good to mention. One element is that the company is well invested, and by finalization of MO4, which is the nuclear block, which is currently in the final stage, the company will spend most of let's say development capex, and after that the company will be in a phase of just having the maintenance capex. So that's great, and it is perfectly fitting into the strategy of EPH, because as I said, in case of CCGTs we are almost over, in case of nukes we are almost over as well. So there is much less risk associated with EPH, NSE in terms of risks associated with the construction and finalization of new builds. Another element is that SE is having a fleet which is one of the most reliable in the world. So the company is having a reliability above 90% in terms of nuclear power generation, which is extraordinary in Europe if you compare us to others. I think this in terms of KPIs for the last year, EBITDA 1.1 billion euro. Leverage 2.5 on EBITDA. The company is, however, this year generating a huge cash flow, which will lead to a substantial decrease of the leverage during 2020-2025, which is again precisely what we need to have in EPH, which will be supporting. If we acquire the company, which is of strategic intention, then it will precisely fit into the leverage strategy of EPH. If we go to page 14, this is another glance on the strategic points for EPH. If we start from the right, we are very obsessed by liquidity. This is derived from the development around the margining in 2023. At the end of H1 2024, the total liquidity was 6.9 billion euros, out of which 3.8 was in cash. We are very much committed to strong investment grade rating. What distinguishes us from others in terms of peers is our cash conversion ratio, which after the exclusion of development capex was roughly 33% LTM at the end of H1 2024. I think one comment here is that obviously 2024 result is what is weighted into the result in terms of cash flow is also relatively high taxation, which is related to a strong year 2023. So the taxes should obviously follow the performance of the group, so they should probably go a little bit down, which should further improve the cash flow and conversion of the group in the future. If we go to the page 15, I think what is the most important is the chart. On the left side, you can clearly see the cash pile we have. On the right side, you can see the liquidity profile. Our intention is more or less to repay all the debt which is maturing in 2025, so we don't see any major obstacle on the horizon, and we believe that our the maturity profile is well spread and very conservative one. Now I will just pass the word to Gary, if I may, because Gary, a part of being CEO of EPF, is also responsible for ESG agenda within the whole group. So your floor is yours.
Thank you, Pavel. If we can just go to page 18, I think the major achievement clearly for the first half of the year was that EPH followed up EPIF's successful launch of the Green Finance Framework with a Green Finance Framework for EPH. The key point to this is we are aligning ourselves closely with the criteria of the EU taxonomy, and indeed for the financial year 2023, 72% of our CapEx was eligible under the EU taxonomy criteria. We are aligning with the ICMA green bond principles. We've set strong objectives, which is net zero operations in respect to scope 1 and 2 by 2050. We will report scope 3 emissions by 2025, and we'll phase out coal by 2030. We're on track in EPH to reduce our CO2 emissions intensity in line with the well under 2 degrees pathway of TPI. As a company that's investing in brand new CCGTs, this is probably the most reasonable pathway that we can achieve. But indeed, EP infrastructure is aligning itself with the SBTI 1.5 degrees. We will reduce our methane emissions in line with the global methane pledge. And we also got external insurance on our green finance framework, one from Standard & Poor's and one from Fitch, both of which confirm the alignment with ICMA green bond principles. As Pavel's already said, we have around about 3.5 billion of green assets on our balance sheet already, and we continue to use CapEx for more green expenditure in both within EPIF and EPH. The main projects, of course, for some of you will know, will be the transition of the district heating plants in EPIF, which are fully EU taxonomy aligned. If we move back then to page 17, little change to our strategy. Pavel confirmed that the Kilroot coal station is indeed closed. New OCGT will open on the Kilroot site, which shows clearly our transition credentials. New CCGTs in Italy will replace old plants with higher CO2 emissions during 2025. And the Emil Huchet plant will be closed also by the first quarter 2025. This means that we will be coal-free from 2025, with the exception of just two projects, which is the district heating plants in the Czech Republic. Those that follow EPIF will know that they're well on track to be transitioned to CCGT, and the must-run power station in the island of Sardinia. All of our assets are being transitioned not just with the current energy mix, but they are in fact ready for hydrogen, whether we were going to distribute, transit, store, or burn hydrogen. All of our assets will be available to do that. We've already saved 25 million tons of CO2 emissions, and we've decreased our emissions intensity between 2015 and 2023 by 35%. We have a large investment in green assets outlined both in EPIF and by Pavel. So we remain fully on track with the objectives that we've outlined, culminating in a highly successful inaugural 500 million green bond. Pavel.
Thank you, Gary. Last page, as always, key takeaways, the page 20. I think this is the summary of what EPH is. So EPH is large-scale operation group, which is diversified not only business-wise but also regional-wise, with elements of negative correlation. We are obsessed with risk management, which proved to be true or helpful in last couple of years. And due to our flotile or fleet, we are also a committed leader in decarbonization and energy transition in Europe. I think it's well supported by investment grade rating, which we have received from Standard & Poor's and Fitch. The last comment is that obviously, despite the fact that the EBITDA or tailwind, which was helping us during the past couple of years, is not present at the moment. And EBITDA is a little bit decreasing. One has to also understand that the proportion of the business which is regulated, quasi-regulated, or long-term contracted is higher compared to previous years. So in fact, this is a risk positive development, which should be somehow taken into account as well. I think we can stop here with the presentation, and I would open the floor for Q&A session.